The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Give everyone here personal correction. Give everyone here personal conviction in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Glory to God. Good morning. How are we doing? Okay. This morning I'm teaching on true femininity. Glory to God. True what? Not feminism. Amen. I believe you can spell that right. If you can't, just use a dictionary. Femininity. Maybe I heard first time. Are you hearing the word for the first time? Why are you like this? It's not a big word. It simply means the attributes, characteristics of being a woman. It just means being a woman. Femininity. Hallelujah. Just like when we say masculinity. Do you understand? It's a masculinity that's about being men, femininity, being women. At least you've learned something new today. Amen. Yeah, so even if we close now, this meeting did not waste. I taught you English at least. Glory to God. What I want to answer for us is, what makes a woman? What makes a total woman? What makes a perfect lady? Are you following me? Is it her looks? Because one of the things that will happen to you at the end of this meeting is, you will now begin to give attention to what really matters. I was going to give your attention to really what makes a woman. You know, one of the things I said in my note, I said true femininity cannot be, is not defined, is not found in society, is not found in culture. It's not about what society say the woman is. What makes a woman is not what society says she is. What makes a woman is not what culture says she is. What makes a woman, I tell you, true femininity can only be defined in God. And why is it so? Because God is the one that created the woman. So if you want to find out who the woman really is and the purpose of the woman, you can only go back to God who created her. You cannot allow culture or society define for you who you truly are. Are you following me? You can't let culture or society tell you how you should be. You can't let culture or society tell you what is expected of you as a woman. The only way to know who a woman is, what is expected of her, what makes her perfect, what makes her total, what makes her complete, is by looking at the person that created her. You want to know the purpose of a thing, ask the maker. Are you following me? What's the purpose of a thing? Ask the maker. What's the purpose of a phone? Read the manual. In the manual, you will see what the maker had in mind when he was making the thing. And that's the only way you can find what true femininity is. That's the only way you can find who the total woman is. That's the only way you can find who the perfect lady is. It's not by looking at anybody. It's not by looking at what people think. It's not by looking at what culture has said. Because I tell you, historically, culture has not been fair to women. You know this, right? Not been fair to women. And the mistake you are going to make is to think that the stand of society or the stand of culture is God's stand on the matter. Are you following me? You make a mistake by thinking that God's take is what society is saying. And I tell you, you cannot, if that's what you keep thinking, you never will not find who a woman truly is. I can tell you, society has not been fair historically itself. You know, it was not until a few years ago that they began to, or a couple of decades now, that they began to count women when they're taking census. You know, right? It's not, you notice if you read the Bible, you see things like 5,000 men were fed. excluding women and children, because there were women and children there, but you don't count them. And the mistake many of us make, and many people make, is that they assume that that is actually what God does. That God, you know, doesn't value women or does not see women like that. So before you know what you're doing, you're already taking the side of culture. You're already taking the side of society. If you notice when I taught you on the woman in God's plan, have you listened to that message? I want to encourage you, if you are here and you're a woman, if you are here and you are what? You're a woman. If you're not a woman, it's fine. But if you're here and you're a woman, I'll refer you to that teaching. The woman in God's plan. What you need to realize is, one of the points I made in that message, I just laid that foundation. God gave the mandate of Genesis 1, 27 to 30. He gave that mandate to both men and women. Please don't miss what I'm saying now. When he said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, it was not given to just Adam. Now, when you read the Bible, Genesis 1 says, and God said to Adam, be fruitful. That, the word man there is the word Adam. It doesn't talk about, it's not talking about a person. It's talking about the human race. Do you have your Bible? Genesis 1. Let's go to the beginning of everything. Genesis 1, verse 27. Genesis 1, 27. King James will say, God made what? Made what? Are you in your Bible? Do you even have a Bible? Genesis 1, 27. Let's read it together. King James said, God made man in his own image. And then he gave him mandates. But actually, the word there is Adam. Adam there means male and female. That's why some translations like NLT will say, God made human beings in his own image. So it wasn't the male gender that was created there. It was humanity as a race. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Don't miss what I'm saying. It's humanity as a race. If you now go to let me show you something. Chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 1. We're going to read together. Are you there? We're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. So I need you on top of your voice. We're going to read together. If you're ready, you let me know. Are you ready now? Let's read together. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name what? Adam. So what did God call man and woman when he created them? Huh? Adam. So when you see Adam, the Adam is the name of the first man created. But actually, the word Adam simply means human race. So when you hear that God made man his image, he's not talking about men, he's talking about men and women. Are you following me? And so where did woman come from? So where was the woman when this was happening? How was the woman formed? The Bible said Adam slept and from him. So Adam housed both male and female. Are you following me? So there was no need for gender separation, simply for companionship. And so, God's stand, as far as women are concerned, has never been what society thinks. If you check throughout the Bible, you will see forever that God has always been for the woman. In fact, some of the instructions that the people in the Bible took and blew out of context was because they didn't understand who God was. Let me give a perfect example. In the Old Testament, when there is a census, you don't count women. I've explained that to you here, right? You don't count women. Many people have taken that to say, oh, that's because women are not serious, they're not important. No. Actually, when God told them not to count women, the reason, do you know why they should not count women? Numbers 1, let me show you. So that you understand God's position when it has to do with the woman. Because society has misrepresented who the woman is. They've said she's an inferior person. And they're trying to define her to her. And the woman is working so hard to fit into a profile that society has created for her. Numbers 1, verse 1. Are you there? Look at this. He says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of children of Israel after their famine, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war. So the reason why he said don't count women, don't count people that are below 20. Are you getting me? The reason was so because of war, because God never expected the women to go start fighting. And he never expected children to do it the same. So for purpose of war, he said, don't count them. Number only your men, that the people you are going to carry into the battle. Are you getting the point? So it was actually for the in the interest of the woman. Society now picked it and now said, women are not important. After a while, are they not numbered? Who is following me this morning? So God's stand has never been man's stand on the issue of women. I'm saying all these things not to provoke feminism in you. I'm saying all this so that you can see that man does not have a right to define you or to tell you who you are. It's only the man, the God that created you, that can say, this is who you are. This is what I have in mind for you. This is what makes you you. It's only God that can do that. Not any man. Society now went as far, do you notice? They went as far as saying, it's like women cannot be this, women cannot be that. Whereas in the Bible, even though God didn't want women counted, when a woman rose with the strength of a man, her name was Deborah. God allowed that. She led the army of Israel. Are you following me? God has never, even in the genealogy of Jesus, go and read Matthew 1, genealogy of Jesus. Do you observe there were some women mentioned there? You know, normally when you read genealogy, it should have been Emeka begat Jude. Jude begat. Normally, you should mention the father. But there are some generations he got to. God did not mention the man, he mentioned the woman. Are you following what I'm saying? All the important was who was important in that. So God is not a gender, he's not a feminist, and he's not a misogynist. There's not any of them. There are some generations you get to, you say, oh, you mentioned the woman, because in that place, it's the woman that was important in that particular generation. Are you following what I'm saying at all? So God is not against women, he's not against men. So because of this, we have a lot of things about women. We think women should be this, we think women should be that, and women also think that about themselves. I give an example. A woman is not her looks. A woman is not her shape. As important as that may be, that's not a woman. That's not what makes a woman. So sometimes when they look like, every time they talk about women, it must be about their body. So everything a woman, if you want to say that woman is whatever, you must talk about, see her nyash, see her this, see her shape. Is that all there is to women? And then you buy the narrative too. You think that's what defines you. So you're working so hard to fit into a profile that the world has created for you. They have something they believe a woman should look like or a woman should be. Then you are working so hard to become that thing that they say the woman should be. Who said that's where a woman is? Who said it's about her shape? Who said it's about her color? Why is that bleaching cream and why is it selling for women? Because we believe that a woman is defined by her looks. See, if you don't look up, if you don't look prepped up, if you don't look this, if you don't look that, you're not a full woman. That's not even true. You say, are you saying we should not make up again? No. But that's not what makes you. Because when the tie is cast, it's not pancake that will help you. Are you following me? You must realize that there is more to you than what society has said. Some others think all there is to a woman is marriage. And this thing has to be corrected. I believe women should get married, but I don't believe that they really receive a marriage. That's nonsense. And our parents sell this thing before, from when we were young. Have they ever given you advice without adding, is that how you behave in your husband's house? Every advice must end there. Cook this food well, though. Not when you get to your husband's house. So it looks like the woman is working so hard for her husband's house. Can we begin to talk to men like that too? Come on.
You should be able to tell them. Is that how you behave when you get married? It's said once in a while. But if that is the only thing we say to men, you're also raising the wrong men. There is more to life. So life, see, you see, they make it look like once you get to a certain age as a woman, I am not married, they're asking you, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with her? Nothing is wrong with her, I tell you. Because we've thought, we've believed that her worth is in marriage. Are you following me? Her worth is in her looks. We believe her worth is in whatever. So you see women fighting so hard to fit into the profile created for them. They are doing surgery. They are doing this. They are doing everything. They want to look in a certain way. And what you don't realize is that this thing about shape, are you following me? It keeps changing from one generation to another. What is in vogue now may not be in vogue in 10 years' time. You know now what is raining is tiny waist. Won't have tiny waist. And there was a time it was not the main thing, no. Go and read history about a couple of decades ago. That wasn't a beautiful woman. Are you getting me? But now society creates it and we are rushing towards it. We want to be what they said we should be. There is more. Are you following me? There is more. True femininity is not in your dressing. It's not in your shape. It's not in marriage. It's not in, what else do they say women are? It's not in any of those things. It's not in your looks. Should you look fine? Yes, but that's not what makes you fine. I'll say that the Bible talks about Korate Kadash. The Bible talks about, I'll get to that shortly, a beautiful head or an empty, a beautiful face on an empty head. Glory to God. Now, the first thing that makes a woman is that a woman, the true femininity, true womanhood, is that first of all, she is a lover of God. Now, I'm going to show you some scriptures. One of the places we're going to look at very well would be the popular Proverbs 31. Now, what did they say? Proverbs 31 woman. And all they understand by Proverbs 31 woman is that woman that is well married. But there is more. The true woman is first of all a lover of God. That's not what I said. It's what the Bible is saying. In Proverbs 31, make sure you open your Bible so you can see this for yourself. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Look at what the Bible said about this woman. He said, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Solomon is saying, you know what favor is? Let's see another translation. Look at the NLT. NLT said, charm is deceitful. Beauty does not last. A woman that fears the Lord. So the real thing that makes a woman is not her beauty, it's not her charm. It's first of all in her walk with God. It's first of all in how she walks with Jesus. Are you know what I'm saying? That's the first thing. Let me show you a message. Let me show you a message. Glory to God. Message said, charm can mislead. Beauty soon fades. You know what charm is? It's not juju. No, we are Africans. What's your charm? You think? You know what charm? You know, so women have charm. Do you understand? Women have charm generally. It is deceitful. It can deceive. See, beauty can fade. If a woman has charm, she's beautiful. She has the shape and what have you. But she does not fear the Lord. Don't walk without. So what makes you, first of all, is in your walk with God. I'm not saying it because I'm a pastor. I'm telling you because that's what defines true womanhood. Even the most corrupt man, when he wants to get married, he says he wants a prayerful woman. Have you not observed what I'm saying? The most corrupt man. The one that will carry all the girls from the club. You're supposed to get married, she wants a prayerful woman. And that's what we have to be careful. They don't want to get married, they're now coming to church. You think they're serious? Make sure they're serious too. Are you following what I'm saying? They want a prayerful woman. Because actually, real men know that what makes a woman starts from her walk with God. A woman that cannot submit to God cannot submit to you. It's a very simple thing. It's a lover of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'll read towards verse, okay, maybe we'll just start working with NLT for now because of our time. I read to you verse 34 and verse 35. He was talking about marriage, Paul. He said his interests are divided. Let's start from 33. He said a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in the body and the spirit. But a married man has to a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Verse 35. I am saying this, that's what I'm going to, for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. Why is he saying it? See the next phrase. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. That's the aim. What he was talking about marriage. But in this chapter, Paul was actually saying that you don't need to get married. That's what Paul was saying. That it's not a must to get married. After talking, he now said, well, I'm not saying this to put a restriction on you. I'm not saying this to say you should not marry. He said, I'm saying this because I want you to serve the Lord with as few distractions as possible. Because that's what defines you as a woman. You may not like to hear this. But you see, that marriage that will take you away, that will distract you from your walk with God, that will kill your love and fervency for God, God doesn't want you to have it. Take it from me forever. Let me say this again. It is better for God that you are single and fervent than that you are married and cold. People say, why are you talking like that? Because you are wondering why I'm talking like that. Because somehow you believe that what makes you is marriage. The true woman is a lover of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, he says, fear God and keep his commandment. He said, this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. This is the whole duty of man. This is all that God expects of you. That's where life begins. Life does not begin at 40. Life begins when the will of God has been found and is being followed. Life begins so you begin to walk with God in what he has called you to do. That's where life begins. And you must know that. Settle it in your heart. Whether you are going to have money, whether you are going to have anything, start from there. That's where life begins from. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. The second thing that defines a true woman, a perfect lady, is that she is, don't miss what I'm going to say, she's a lover of humanity. Her family inclusive in words and expression. You know the thing about women? It is very easy for women to love people. Do you observe that? And God puts that nature there. Don't let society kill it. A true woman loves humanity. A true woman loves her family. It's in women. There's nothing wrong with it. It's because they are trying to kill it. That's why he say, oh, the man is out there working. It's me that don't have sense that will start to. Me too, I will go and work. The children should die. Do you know when something happens to the kids, it affects both of you. But for the woman, it is deep into her. We teach men to love. But now men are having their own meeting now, right? We're also hitting them. But a woman should know that she's supposed to train herself and allow that love that is in her, naturalize a woman to flow. Let me show you some scriptures. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, Paul was talking to Timothy about how to pick widows that will be taken care of in church. Look at what he said. He said, a widow who is put on the list of support must be a woman who is at least 60 years old and was faithful to her husband. Now, see verse 10. Pay attention. She must be well respected by everyone. Because of the good she has done. Has she brought up her children well? Has she been kind to strangers and served other believers humbly? Has she helped those in trouble? So you see what Paul is expecting from women. I get what I'm saying. Has she taken care of strangers? Has she? Because that is actually who a woman is. That person that is full of hate and she has bone straight hair looking where, getting to wherever it's getting to. It's not a true woman. A true woman is a lover. She is full of love. This is a woman conference. I can say some things. You see, do you know the word El Shaddai? The word El Shaddai is used for God. You know what it means? It means the breasted one. What that term means is a God that has enough. When you talk about breasts, he's using it to compare how women breastfeed their children. I get the point. A woman has so much breast milk to give her kids that, let me show you how it works for women. It will not happen to you. But if you've ever seen women that lose their children at birth, once that milk begins to flow and there's no baby to suck it, it begins to pain them. Do you observe that? Because what is happening? They have so much to give out. If you don't take, they will be hurt. Now, that's how God created the woman. It's not a bad thing that you are like that. Are you following me, guys? I understand people can try to take advantage of you. I'm going to address that. But it's not a bad thing that you love to love people. It's not a bad thing that you want to be hospitable. It's not a bad thing that you want to take care of people. It's how you are created. It's how you are. There is nothing wrong with it. Are you following me? She's a lover. In Acts chapter 9, verse 39, we read the story of Dorcas. The woman died. When Peter arrived, all they did was to bring out clothes. They were showing Peter, look at the clothes this woman sold for us free. That was a woman, Dorcas. You see, she had that heart. She had a skill. She was known for sewing clothes, dashing people. So when she died, the whole women gathered and was like, this one should not die. She has been so good to us. That's a true woman right there. Are you following me? That's a true woman right there. That's true femininity right there. In Proverbs 31 and verse 15, let's go back to the Proverbs 31 woman. That makes me laugh. Verse 15. He says, she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. Look at verse 27. That's a woman. He says, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers not from laziness. You see, she watches over everyone. She watches over everybody. Early in the morning, she's up. She's taking care of. The man may be sleeping. The woman is bothered. Why are people not eating? And in case you've seen a woman like that, and she was marginalized or trampled upon, it doesn't change the fact that that is who a true woman should be. And God will give you good men. Are you getting the point? Because it is wicked men. It is wicked men that trample upon true women. It's wicked men. There is nothing wrong with someone being so full of love that she has so much love to give out. As a matter of fact, that is how God is. That's why we call him El Shaddai. He has so much to give out. And men too that are not here, when they listen to this teaching, they should also tell themselves, a believer should have so much love to give to the world. I get to the point. So there's nothing wrong with that. In my note, I said, people might want to take advantage of this thing, but it should not stop who you are. Even though you should be wise. Be wise, amen? It's not that I will love everybody. A man comes, wants to take advantage of you. I just say, I love you. No. I'm talking about being the love of humanity, being there for your family, being there for your friends. It's in every woman. Every woman should be like that. Let it flow. The love of just your heart. Let it flow. A true woman is a lover. Are you following me? She is a lover. That's why I tell my men, when I teach them, I say, if you make your woman comfortable, she will love the hell out of you. And the reason is simple. Women are just like that. I get to the point. They want to just accept. That's what I was saying with healing yesterday. Accept some of you that life has hit front and back. You know, it's life that changes people. Life hits you front and back. People disappoint you, break your heart, break everything. You now toughen up. And if that is you, allow that yesterday's message to work. Let's go. Be who you are. A true woman is a lover. Say, I'm a lover. Say it again. It doesn't matter what has happened. Don't let it remove. Don't let whatever has happened to you remove who you truly are. So a true woman is a lover. And I tell you, one of the reasons why she has that quality is because she's the one that will carry a baby. She's the one that will nurse the baby. She's the one that will take care of the baby. She needs to have that quality, that love to be able to do it. Are you following me? That's a true woman. That's a true woman. What else do you find in a true woman? A true woman is humble. Humility is associated with true women. Humility, and I tell you, it has nothing to do with being intimidated. Yes, we're talking about inferiority complex. It has nothing to do with inferiority complex. It has everything to do with being who God wants you to be. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. That's what God expects. In 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1, Peter began to talk to women and wives. And let's see NLT. 1 Peter 3, from verse 1 to 6. He said, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words, and they'll be won over by observing your pure and relevant lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles. See what I said at the beginning? People read this verse and they say, we should not put on jewelry. That's not what Peter is saying. Listen to Peter again. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within. So Peter is saying your emphasis should not be fine hair, fine clothes. He's not saying you should not wear them. Are you getting the point? But he said, don't be concerned with them. That shouldn't be your passion. That should be what you're living for. What should you be concerned with? Go back to that place, verse 4. Clothe yourself with the beauty that comes from within. What is that beauty? The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husband. So what is real beauty for a woman? Trust in God. Humility, submission. That's what it is. Trust a woman that has a faith in God and is really very humble. Right? That woman is beautiful. That one that is very fine, but she doesn't care about God, or she's very proud, she's just carrying, that's ugly. And I'm not saying it just because the Bible says so. I've seen beautiful women who, as one of them, you first day you see them, your head is spinning. The guy is stunning. Immediately, you know her for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you're wondering, she's not even fine. She has used her proud attitude to silence all the fineness in your eye. You can see nothing again. Look at verse 6. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. You see, somebody is asking me, so I should just submit myself to a man and he'll do whatever. Don't worry, we are training the men. I get to the point. A real man knows that a woman's submission doesn't mean you kill her. Doesn't mean you kill her. But then, why are you bothered about what if the man begins to beat you? Are you planning to marry someone that will beat you? So why are you bothered about that? What if I submit to him and he matches my head? So you are planning to marry somebody that's going to match your head. The real woman is humble. You see, life can deal with you a lot. But don't let it remove the virtues that God has put inside of you. That calm, gentle, and quiet spirit. That is humble. That is humble. Let me show you some other scriptures about this. Proverbs 16 verse 18. I want us to read that one together. Proverbs 16 verse 18. For like 2 months now, I've been preaching a lot from the book of Proverbs. You observed? He said, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Pride will bring you down. It's not just a teaching for women. It's a teaching for believers generally. A true woman is a humble woman. A true man is humble. Proverbs 18 verse 12. Haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. The true woman is humble. So what makes a perfect lady is not how fine she's looking. Let her look all fine. Let her look all beautiful. But she's very proud. Even you that is a woman, you will detest her. Are you getting the point? Now, somebody asked one of my friends, one of my daughters, I said, this way you are acting. If your brother that you love so much brings home a wife he wants to marry, a woman he wants to marry, and she's acting like you, will they allow your brother to marry you? I get to the point. Because once, you know, notice what mothers will say things like, I don't like that one. You bring a woman home, they say, I don't like. Do you know one of the first, I'm talking about women that are checking what course is she studying? That's what I'm saying. I mean, the first thing the mothers check is, you know where the eye is going to? She's not humble. I get to the point. That's the first thing.
The next thing they now check is she's not domesticated. She can't help in whatever. And I was talking to my ministers the other day, and they were telling me, if I go to my husband's house, you know, why should I? I'm not even going to do anything in the house. If I go to maybe their house, their family house, I will not do anything. I'm not there to impress anybody. I say, it's a lie. When you get there, where there is a problem is if you need to do all those work to impress your husband, then there is a problem. Are you getting me? It means the man wants to marry somebody that's going to sleep for him. But you see, you go to his family house, you have to wake up in the morning and sweep and wash. You say, why? I'm not a feminist. It's better. The question I want to ask you, if your brother brings home a woman who lies down when the baby girls are washing and do whatever, she's just lying down, will you allow the marriage to hold? Why are you acting that way? If you wake up, can't start cleaning everywhere. Wash, sweep. If your mother-in-law is now trying to kill you with work, it's now your husband you have to talk to. He will now tell mommy, we are leaving this evening. You guys will go home. Are you following me this morning, guys? It's not let's say, I'm not going to do anything. Hey, I'm did not come here to work. What do you think you came to do? Because even if it is you that is the woman, the mother, and you, somebody visited my house. Some of you know this story. Of course. You know my house. Oh, growing up, my family house, different guys come, different ladies. My house is full. Ladies, guys, daughter, pastor, you know, I believe in you. And so just like other people used to come, this one came, mentorship. Do you know this lady? My mom came back. She couldn't greet. Come on, pass. My mom, if you know my mom, she no gay wahala. I'm not just saying, you know my mom does have problem. You won't even know she's existing. You guys can be there, 200 in the parlor. She's in her room. She's not disturbing people. But she didn't greet. My mom came out to go and cook. That time, it's not like now that God is trying to bless us. That time, we are cooking outside. You know, firewood. You get to the point. So my mom went outside to cook outside. That's where we're coming from. And it's not even a bad place. That's where we're cooking firewood. So my mom went out to cook with firewood. She was sitting inside. After she did not, because she's not my girlfriend. She's not, I'm not dating her. There's nothing about, but then the fact that she's a woman, do you understand what I'm saying? It's expected that she should go out there. Even if you just can't stand there and be watching. She didn't do anything. After cooking, they brought her the food for her. Guess what? She ate it. She ate it. And after eating it, you know the rest of the story. She left the plate there. My mom came and carried it. It really happened. I went there and said, Mommy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for bringing this kind of idiot into this house. And if you know me very well, I don't let such things slide. The next day, I told her, you are leaving today. He says, sir, but Pastor, what other people are sleeping there? I said, but you. You are going today. I corrected that sharply. Because even that next morning, they were sweeping. My mom was sweeping. She will raise her leg. He said, hey, does it matter? You better listen to the counsel from the Lord. That thing is inside. What was she? Because she was studying one course that nobody has studied in her life. I think that's where it's coming from. She was studying all this. So she feels, which course? Medicine. Let me not even touch that matter. Do you know, even if love is turning my head and I bring that one home, my mom will disown me. Say, you will not marry. It's not going to marry this one. Let me cease to be your mother. And it's not about beauty. I get the point. The thing that makes a woman, that thing is, it was pride. I'm not saying the woman's humility is just in her house chores. That's what I'm saying. Let me say this to you. This is perfect lady. Amen? Don't let Facebook feminists deceive you. You see those feminists saying, why should you cook your mother? They're cooking, they're serving. Where they are as I'm talking to you, they're doing, that's where they are as I'm talking to you now. Maybe not in a liking salah, in a secret salah of Oma.
In Allah, Jesus. How come I see so? That's what I think where they are now. Then on Facebook, don't let any man tell you. Let's if you go to his house, did he marry a slave? If the mother cannot wash his clothes, let her leave it. Who was washing it before you came? It's fine. It's fine. Go to where they are. They are serving. You saw one post that trended recently. Your favorite feminist knelt down to give her husband wine. I said, no, she should stand up. Let me say this to you about feminism. You know me. You know I'm a feminist. Yeah. In the real definition of a feminist is, I am. I don't believe that a woman should be restricted because she's a woman. At least you can tell. I have female pastors. Somehow more than male pastors. I don't believe a woman should be restricted. I don't believe a woman cannot be president. I don't believe a woman cannot be anything. Are you getting me? I tell my men, a woman is your boss in the office. Better lie than let her teach you work. If life is misbehaving, she will sack you under God. So I don't believe a woman should be restricted. But I don't believe a woman should carry that madness into her home. You say why? The reason is simple. Every organization must have a leader. Any organization where there is no leader, it's good. Even church, imagine in church, all of us are equal. Yes, we are equal in Christ, but I'm your pastor. And I dictate what happens. Do you know that?
Okay, I just have to tell you.
And that's not because I'm bigger than you. That's not because I'm better than you. It's just who I am, just where I stand. In Nigeria, no Nigerian is more Nigerian than any other Nigerian. Yeah. But there is a president. We cannot all say, we don't care. You should care. And that's how it is in the home. In the home, there is a leader. The leader is the man. And so you go there, you begin to fight, you will wreck your home. See, a true woman is humble. Not just to her husband, it is just her virtue. And if I let me stretch it a little, a true believer is humble. A true believer is humble. Are you following me? And let me say this so that you don't get things twisted. The next thing is a true woman is bold. A true woman is bold. Timidity is not part of what we received in Christ. This thing of women that cannot, you know, we're addressing it yesterday. You don't feel accept. You don't accept yourself. You feel you just fidget. Let me say this to you: boldness is not pride. Are you following me? When people hear humility, they think what I'm saying is every woman should just be walking, say, yeah, thank you, good morning, God, thank you. You talk, they say, no, I can't talk. That's not humility. That's timidity. That's not humility. Humility is not timidity. A true woman is bold. You can be bold and humble. When there is a responsibility, you stand up to it and you face it. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1, it says the righteous is as bold as lions. I'm bold. As bold as lion. You see, let me give you an example. Esther. There was a responsibility. That team had the capacity to take her life. You don't get into the king's chamber if he did not invite you. Are you getting me? You don't do that. It was a bold move. What she did, she just got motivation from Mordecai. Mordecai said, you must go. You know, and all that. After the whole motivation, she told him, go and pray for me. I will enter the king's chamber. If I perish, I perish. That's boldness speaking. That when there's a responsibility, you stand up to it and you do it. Don't tell me you are humble and then you have work to do. You can't do it. You can't present. You can't stand before people. You can't do your ministry. You are living an integrated life. That's not what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. A true woman is, she is humble, very humble, but she's very bold. And bold does not mean your husband is talking. You are talking. People are talking. You cannot talk to me like that. No. Boldness just means that when there is something to do, you man up to it and you do it. I get to the point. When there is something to do, you stand up and you do it. Oh, they have to go and do it. Well, that is me. I can do this. I'll stand up and do it. That's boldness. Boldness doesn't mean you are fighting everybody. You cannot talk to me like that. If you talk to me, I'll do you back. No, that's not boldness. That's a mad person. That's a mad person. Humility on the other hand does not mean that you are just so reserved inside your shell. Nobody can talk to you. Of course, except I'm not your pastor, I'm not your father. If I train, you cannot be like that. You know, right? By the time you hit the street and preach to everybody on the street, you can't be like that. You see, my pastors, I train bold ladies.
And I can tell you for free, I train very bold ladies. If you are not bold, you've not passed through me. If you pass through me, you are going to be very bold. You will face life. I get what I'm saying. That's boldness. But that is not arrogance. Who is following me at all? Two things. Humility is not timidity. Boldness is not arrogance. You see, the scripture was looking at, Pastor Levi was looking at yesterday, Judges 5 verse 7. He said, until I, Deborah, arose. You see that powerful stuff. He said, the inhabitants, they were lying in waste. Things were going wrong. Until I decided to arise, I arose a mother in Israel. That's boldness right there. When there is something to do, you stand up to it and you do it. You do it. So a true woman is bold. Check women in the Bible who made impact. These were courageous women. These were confident women. These were bold ladies. I've shown you Esther. I've shown you Deborah. Look at all of them. Bold, confident. They face life. That thing that always knocks you down is not what God wants for you. You must be bold. Say, I'm bold. Say, I'm bold. And I'm talking about boldness again. I want to talk about resilience too. A true woman is resilient. She's resilient. In Proverbs 31 and verse 25, she's resilient. I want to rush this because I want to pray with you before I go. Hallelujah. Bible says she's clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. As a true woman, she's strong. She's strong. You know what it means to be resilient? What does it mean to be resilient? Now check your dictionary. Just feel free. When you check it, just answer it like you did not check it. Have you found the meaning? Have you? I'm waiting for you. Have you found the meaning? Resilience. Have you seen it? Huh? What does it mean? The capacity of. Read it again. Yeah, that's resilience. Such that when things have gone wrong, you know how to bounce back and face life again. And the Lord said I should speak about this particularly and emphasize on it. When an object is resilient, you beat it out of shape. It has the capacity to come back to its shape. It's called struck down but not destroyed. That's what it's called. So when you see a person, because I'm saying this because people attribute womanhood to weakness. That's not what God, that's not true at all. That is not true at all. They feel a woman is that person that is weak. You just break her heart. She's just there singing, never mind, I'll find someone. And she sings it and she never stands up again. No, the women God is raising. You break them down. They can be down for 3 days, but not more than that. They are standing up again. They are facing life again. That thing that makes you always chicken out, it doesn't mean you're a woman. Don't excuse on me. You know, I'm a woman. Anything that happens, I just get tired. No, that's not womanhood. True women are strong. They are resilient. You know, personally, I don't even want to have anything to do with anybody that just gives up easily, that just breaks down. I don't want anything, whether you're a man, a woman. Because life will deal you with it. It will serve your own portion. Are you getting me? Life will. Life happens to all of us. The ones that are resilient, they come back to shape. I am struck down but not destroyed. Are you getting the point? You push me down, I'm standing up again. It's not just about men. Women should be like that too. And I believe that true women are resilient. They don't give up. They don't chicken out on life. They are strong. You push them down. After some time, they're standing up again. You know what makes a righteous man is not that he doesn't fall.
The righteous falls 7 times. He rises 7 times. For every fall, there is a rise. Are you getting me? And I don't know who you are. I'm talking to this morning. I don't know where life has kept you. I don't know what you are doing that you stopped. It's time to rise again. That's what makes you God's child. You don't quit. And see, the kind of thing God does, the kind of women we are talking about, things happen to them when they recover. They are not recovering with scars. They are not recovering with bitterness from what happened in the past. They are not recovering with hurts. They are recovering back to shape, in fact, better than they were before. Are you getting me? They broke your heart, fine. You lost a business, fine. You lost your job, fine. Things happen, you lost a loved one, fine. But you are coming back in shape. Because you are God's perfect lady. And as God's perfect lady, you are resilient. You don't break down easily. Are you getting the point? You don't break down easily. You see, you melt her. You crush her. You put her under the ground. She rises up again. That's the woman. That's the woman. And if you don't have this kind of attributes, you are going to quit very soon in life. I am someone that has been through everything. Talk of betrayal, I've tested it firsthand. Talk of hate, I've lived inside hate. Some of you know what I'm talking about. In the midst of hate, I've lived in the midst of hate. Talk of wickedness, I've experienced wickedness. But you know what I will not be? I will not allow it to keep me down. Secondly, as I'm rising up, I'm not going to allow those things to have effects on my life. What I'm saying is, as I'm not going to hate people, I'm not going to be wicked, I'm not going to allow the effect of what they did to me stay. When God heals, he leaves no scars. I know you came from a family where you've seen a lot and it has kept your back on the ground. You are going to spring up again. Not with any hurt. Spring up again. God's lady does not quit. She's strong. You see the kind of strong women that God is raising. You see Deborah. You think what Deborah? You think Deborah led them to a spiritual battle? She led them to a physical fight. She was strong. Was she fighting? Maybe not. But she had this leadership thing in her that she could control men. You see, the fact that you are weak, weak and women are not the same thing. Weak is not another word for women. It's not. There are weak men, there are weak women. It has nothing to do with gender. So I'm resilient. I'm resilient. I don't quit. You break me up, I stand up again. You strike me down, you cannot destroy me. You crush me, I'm coming back to shape. And it's not just for now, it should be you. All the days of your life. All the days of your life. You lose a loved one, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. But after crying, you are standing up again. You won't stay back there. Some of you are still hurting from the death of your dad or the death of your mom. It's time to move on from there. Life has served you. You have to reply life with boldness. You have to reply life with much more strength. Painfully, I know you lost a loved one. It's painful and we are sorry. Accept the same party. But it's time to look ahead. There is much more ahead. And you get what I'm talking about. Go and read the story of every woman you know that took the world. Read the story of Catherine Kuman. Read the story. Someone like Margaret Rotheter in her lifetime. I'm not saying bad things happen. I'm just trying to tell you the kind of woman I'm talking about. Bad things will not happen to you, amen? In her lifetime, she had lost 2 husbands. You see, Maria Woodward Ether. Woodward Ether. These are the names of her husbands. She lost both of them in 1 lifetime. She buried 6 of her kids in 1 lifetime. But there was a woman that could not be broken. I get what I'm saying. As a woman that could not be broken. Some of you, the things you are passing through today are testimonies that people will read tomorrow and they will cry and bless God if you don't give up. Are you following me? Go and read about Joyce Meyer's story. She was molested even by her own father. Raped by her own father. had a first husband who dealt with her and did whatever. And she moved on from that place. But she refused to be described. She's taking the word for Jesus today. That is who the woman is. So that thing that makes you spell women as weak is lying to you. It's lying to you. A real woman is resilient. She's resilient. She's strong. She's strong. Glory to God. I feel the Lord working on hearts here. She's strong. Struck down but not destroyed. Korabateka. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Oh, I just have a little more time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Struck down but not destroyed. Woo. Shigadada baba. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Indarabateosha. Kabarate yakosia. Kema de gora vetiadash. Ho baba retiada kanash. Woo! 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8. Paul said, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. I like this place with King James. King James said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Troubled, but not distressed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. You are rising again, oh. You are rising again, oh. You are coming back to shape. You used to be very fervent for God. Some things happened and took you out of shape. You are coming back hotter. You are coming back hotter because you are resilient. You are God's perfect lady. You are resilient. You are resilient. You are resilient. People hurt you. He made you lose love. He made you stop thinking about caring for people. He made you bitter and wicked. But now you are coming back to shape. You are coming back to shape. You are not left in despair. Kabata, ketaba, tekora, bateya. I'm resilient. Whoosh. Whoosh. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Ah, that is your testimony. We are perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. God has not abandoned you. God has not left you. The plans he wrote concerning your life, he has not changed his mind yet. The things he said concerning you, he's not leaving you alone yet. I heard the Lord loud and clear say to me right now. He said, say to them, my hand is still upon your life. My hand is still on your life. My hand is still on your life. I still have my plans, brother, sister. He still has his plans. Haya Baradesh. She's resilient. She has refused to quit. She has refused to give up. She's pressed on every side by troubles, but she has refused to be crushed. She's perplexed, but she has refused to be driven to despair. Oh, she's hunted down, but she knows she's not abandoned by God. She has been knocked down, but watch out for her. She will not be destroyed. She's coming back in shape. Higher. Hey. I sense the power of God strong here. I sense to God restoring strength. I sense an impartation of strength. I sense an impartation of strength. Strong up but not destroyed. That is God's woman. Higher. Her beauty is not in things. Her beauty is in her strength. She has failed the first exam. She has failed the second exam. But she's not going to stop.
She's not going to give up. She's not going to give up. She's not going to give up. She has lost the first job, failed the second interview, but she's not quitting yet. She's going for more jobs. They've sacked her from where she's working, but she's resilient. She's resilient. She's resilient. She's resilient. She was raped by someone. They thought she was going to be broken, but she's rising up a figure. She's rising up God's strong soldier. She has refused to be destroyed. Some of you need to say to life, I'm not breaking down yet. I'm not breaking down yet. I'm not breaking down yet. I'm not done with my message, but I send this strong impartation here. I'm not breaking down yet. I'm not breaking down yet. I'm not quitting yet. I'm not breaking down yet. I'm rising. I'm stronger. I'm stronger. I'm resilient. Life, bring it on. But I'm going to come out of this. I'm sure of the future because I know I may fall seven times, but seven times I'm going to rise. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey! Why will you allow what people did to stop you, to define you, to break you down? What they did was what they did. You choose what it will do to you. Ay, ay, ay. Whoosh. Gebo bovetash. You have 1 more minute. Just go ahead. I'm not going back. Woo! I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. I've surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. I've surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Hallelujah.
Proverbs 31:25. We're going to read that place together with New Living Translation. So I'm just going to read from here, then we'll read together. Are you ready? Proverbs 31:25. I read, it says, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She laughs without fear of the future. You're going to say that about yourself. Say, I am clothed with strength and dignity. I laugh without fear of the future. Ah, you didn't get that. I am clothed with strength and with dignity. I laugh without fear of the future. Ha 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 ha. I am clothed with strength and with dignity. I laugh without fear of the future. Hey! Hey! Woo! Glory, 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 glory to God, glory to God. Ha 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 ha. I'm confident. Kaya. Struck down but not destroyed. You close one well, we dig another well. You shut one door, we open the next door. You break us down, we are rising again with strength. You take one job, we are getting 10 more. You shut one door, we are opening 10 more doors. I am resilient. I am resilient. Glory. Hey. Whoosh. I don't quit. I am God's perfect lady. Say it again, I don't quit. I am God's perfect lady. Glory to God. You see, dead businesses are coming back alive now. Dead businesses are coming back alive now. Opportunities that have been lost are being represented again. I hear it in my speech again. Hope is rising. Hope is rising. Hope is rising. Hope is rising. You can believe again. You can attempt again. You can act again. You are standing strong again. Hope is rising. Faith is rising. That mistake did not end you. That mistake did not end you. Hope is rising again. Faith is rising again. Courage is rising again. Strength is rising again. I'm not going down. Glory to God. Ha barate shoka. Venatia daka. Woo! Ha ya 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 ya. I am God's own lady. Say that about yourself all the time. I am God's own lady. See, I know many things happen to women that want to break them down. I know. But look at what you say about yourself. I am clothed with strength and dignity. And I laugh about the future. 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 Glory! Hey! Come on. Rejoice in the Holy Ghost. 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 Hope is rising. Faith is rising. Strength is rising. I rejoice. Hey! Glory, 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 glory. Whoosh! Hiya, ya, ya. Kebabadish. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, Yagabata. Something is interrupting my message. Strength is rising. Strength is rising. Some of you, that's the only reason you came here this weekend. Strength is rising. You are believing again. You are believing again. Ha, ha, ha. Struck down but not destroyed. Woo! You know, they will look at you years to come and they're wondering, are you still doing this? You finally got here. Because I'm not going, I don't care. Some of you are in school.
you don't have any hope of who will pay your next school fees. You don't know who will pay your next school fees. But you are not stopping. You are not stopping. You will not even compromise. Hope is rising. Hey! You lost a loved one, and that person was your everything. Don't worry. You've not lost the Lord. The Lord is always there. Struck down but not destroyed. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to feel bad. But you are coming back to shape after that. Perfect shape after that. Perfect shape after that. In fact, you are even coming back better. You are coming back better. Because says the Spirit of the Lord, this new you that is about to emerge, this new that is about to gain expression after this meeting, the glory of this new you is better than the former you. It's better than where you are coming from. You are coming out stronger now. You are coming out better now. And that season has come. And as God's prophet, I activate that season for you. Step into it. Step into it. A new you. A new strength. A new hope. A new courage. A new expression of you. A new exploit. A new productivity. Get into that season now. Take it by praying in the Holy Ghost. Take it, pray in the Holy Ghost. Take it, pray in the Holy Ghost. Soak it in. Soak it in with tongues. Aya, aya, aya. Suddenly she rose again. I heard that word in my spirit. Suddenly. Suddenly. Whoosh. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Congratulations. Sit down for a moment. Congratulations. I feel the power of God is done. Hallelujah. So the true woman is resilient. True femininity is found in resilience. She doesn't quit easily. I go again to show you that the true woman is industrious. Industrious. This thing that talking about women who are working all over the place. Women are now doing well in tech. Doing well in whatever. It is not new to God. It's always been God's way. Are you getting the point? God never ordained that women should just come and relax and begin to enjoy. God wants you to enjoy, but God wants you to walk. Are you getting what I'm saying? God wants you to walk. That's why if you are here under the sound of my voice, at whatever level you are, you see, you should have something
that should give you money. That's why you're a woman. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 13, let's see that woman again. That Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31, verse 13, it says she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. Look at how King James says. King James says, said she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. This woman was involved in business full time. She wasn't just sitting around. Go to verse 16. He says, she considereth a field and she buyeth it. There's a woman. She considers a field and she buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. But let me show you with NLT. NLT says, she goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamps burn late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread and her fingers twisting fiber. That's the true woman. So it's not like she's just sitting around. She's so wealthy that she can consider a field and buy it. You see, God is not against women being rich. And no true man you marry will have an issue with you being rich. Are you getting me? You marry a good man, as you will marry a good man. He will not be afraid, he will not be scared because you are rich. The true woman is industrious. She's a hard worker. She's a hard worker. One reason why, so not now, but historically they didn't want women to do a lot of work. Because some men were scared that they were going to become wealthy and begin to challenge them. But that's not the woman God is raising. She's not challenging anybody. She's working hard for herself. I get what I'm talking about. She's working hard for herself. And so if you have a career, I want to challenge you to pursue your career. Take it seriously. That's who a true woman is. And if you are here, you are doing nothing, maybe you're a student, think of something you can begin to do that will begin to give, even if it is change, and pursue it. Industry is very much part of womanhood. I get what I'm saying. It's part of femininity, industry. This woman, Bible says, she considers a field and she buys it. Look at that. She plants a vineyard. What he's talking about here is the highest investment. It was agriculture. She will consider a vineyard. She will plant it by her own earnings. That's a woman there. And so the idea that, and that's why laziness is not what God wants for any woman. Anybody at all. So women, if you know me, women around me, you must work. And work hard. And work hard. I'm not saying you should just become greedy. But there is nothing wrong with a woman having her own money. Forget things are happening all over the place. Because many things people call hustle on social media is crime. Yeah. A woman is busy sleeping with everybody on the street. And she says she's pushing it. She's hitting it hard. She's hustling. What are you hustling? With your nyash. That's nonsense. That's not hustle. I get what I'm saying. That's not hustle. I'm talking about genuine, sincere hustle. And God will not be against you becoming so wealthy that you even buy a car before you get to your husband's house. Or you own your own house and land. God is not angry with it. And that does not mean something is wrong with you. Forget society. It doesn't mean you are proud. If you are proud, you are proud. A poor person is proud. A rich person is proud. I get the point. If you are proud, you are proud. If you have a career, pursue it. You have a vision, go after it. Are you getting me? You have a business you are doing, throw yourself into it. Be productive, be industrious. That's a true woman right there. Be industrious. Have something doing. Never come at it. Have a time in your life where you're just sitting around doing nothing. Never. See here, there is dignity in labor. It's better that you've not found the job you are looking for. But then you can make hair. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can make bonds. Pastor Maka here, when she was in school, how she sustained herself through whatever was peanuts. Pharmacist. So she will make peanuts, supply. I get what I'm saying. You are now doing ministry. It's not when they say, give your partnership. You go, mommy, they say you should pay partnership in church. If I'm the mom, I will pursue you from that church. I get what I'm saying. Have something doing. I feel that God is going to raise many of you to show the world an example of true femininity. Yeah. That you can actually be wealthy without having to sleep with everybody on the streets. You see what some of these people you are following on Instagram, what they do. They say, what's giving her money? She's an actress. How did she get the money? Which movie did she act? That she's buying that Benz. What movie did she act? Show me something that she's doing. What movie is that? How come the male counterparts are not buying those cars? I'm not saying everybody there is into whatever. Some have other. If you have side also, tell us also, see what I'm doing. But if you are just doing, you are deceiving. Sometimes you follow them because what they do, they go to, you know, I was not surprised when those videos came out recently of women having sex with dogs. That tells you how much women have reduced, society has reduced them, and they've aided society to reduce themselves to nothing. 1 million, 3 million. How much is that? How much is that? I have women in this church who are earning in millions and are not compromising anything. Take it from me. I get what I'm saying. Take it from me. You don't have to just do whatever. There is true industry. Change the narrative. Are you guys listening to me? Change. Let the world know that you can hustle as a woman. You're not sleeping with anybody. You're not collecting money from anybody. You're not trusting that this man, you don't have sugar daddy. You don't have a rich boyfriend. But you're doing well on your own. And yet you are serving Jesus. And yet you are very humble. They don't even know what to say about you. He said she has money. Is she proud? No. Is she a church person? Yes. It's not possible. She doesn't exist. No. They exist in platform of grace. Yeah, that's the truth. They exist. And God is raising true examples for the next generation. Because if it is what you have now, the next generation does not have much examples to follow. And I was talking to some of my friends. I said, because they put up one, they were showing me a picture of ladies that they can dance naked on TikTok. I've seen some of those things. Now, what came to my mind is, so this lady now is 19, she's 21, she's 22. In 5-7 years time, she's going to be a mother, if not very soon. 14-15 years time, she begins to advise her kids, don't do bad things. Your pictures are all over social media. Of course, you don't know. Social media never forgets. So what example are you leaving for the next generation? Because you want to do that to get followers? There are true examples of godly wealth. That's why if you are here, you don't have anything. One of the things that you must make after Perfect Lady this year is to get serious with your life, career-wise, work. There are many people here. If you don't know what to do, meet any pastor or meet me. Say, Dad, I'm serious now. Yeah. What will I do? I have sons, I have daughters who are in different places. I can tell you, go and join yourself to this person. After the person, they train her, take 6 months, teach her whatever you know. And they will do it for you. You know what I'm saying? Get serious with your life, oh. Get serious with your life. There is nothing that associates women and poverty. That's why December is approaching now. 5 months' time or so will be in December. One idiot that God will help me and punish will come back with one car like that. Every girl in the village, that most of the times the cars don't belong to them. I can tell you what they do. I'm telling you a real life story. I'm not telling you real life story. This is what they do. You can go. December is approaching. You want to go to the village to do Dorime. You see all those cars, sometimes don't have number. So what you do, you go to a car dealer. Some car dealers do it in Enugu itself. You get the car, pay like 2 million or 1.something million. The car in itself is about 14 to 20 million. So you just pay it, drive it for 2 weeks, return it after Christmas. Ladies are running, Marie, see the car. It's poverty. God will put your own money in your hands. Yes. Because that's the idea that men have. That how to get women is just to show them money. We have to change it. And if you're like that, stop the, whether you have money or stop that nonsense. They show you money, start fidgeting. Your money perish with you. You don't have manners, your money perish with you. If you want to ask a woman out, well, this is not a men's class, but in case a man will listen to this. Once I ask a woman out, ask her out properly. Would the woman make her fall in love with you? Everything is not money. You buy her shoe today. You buy her gown tomorrow. And I don't know whether, you see, if you follow the ladies I'm really training, that God is preparing, those things can't move. If you want to check woman, check her properly. Show her you're a God, you're a believer. You will love her. You will take care of her. It's not about you want to take it. You think it's today you're buying shoe. Tomorrow you're buying car. Tomorrow you're flashing whatever. What's your own? I get to the point. The woman you want to woo by all those things, she has them. She might not have as much as you have, but she's not broke either. I get to the point. You must come to a point where you become industrious. Let this perfect lady meeting leave you with a fresh motivation to do something. To do something. I told you that God is raising ambidextrous believers. Believers who are doing well in their ministry and they are doing well in their career too. Why people make a merchandise of the gospel? They are not working. If you are in wisdom class on Thursday, some of you are from any good church here. If you are not here, get that teacher once it goes online. Wisdom class, I was emphasizing, the Bible said if you do not work, don't eat. And take it personal. Are you following me? If I will not walk, I will not eat. As I begin to close, I will say like two more things. This lady, true femininity is found in being purpose-driven and not driven by vanity. She's not driven by wares. She's not driven by what men are saying about her. She's not driven by shape or what have you. She has all those things. She's beautiful. She stands tall and elegant. But you see, that's not her drive. Ministry is her drive. Her career is her drive. Her family is her drive. Her passion is different from this world entirely. Are you getting me? She has a different drive. It's purpose. It even wakes her up at night. She does not exist for men. Neither does she exist for money. She doesn't exist for beauty. She exists for where she's going to. She has a purpose. She's throwing herself into that purpose. She's living for that purpose. And I want to close and leave you this way. There's a lot of vanity to distract you. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it said, "Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward beauty of fancy jewelry and expensive clothing. Let it be of the inner hidden man of the heart, that which has a true and a pure and gentle spirit." Let your beauty and strength come from within. Let what is driving you be stronger than what is on the outside. It's not beauty. And I used to hear Catherine Kuhlman say that she's not beautiful. Yeah. She says that I'm not beautiful, that there's nothing to desire about me. But you see, there is more. When passion, when purpose is driving you, when purpose is driving you, it will affect everything. When purpose is driving you, it will affect the friends you keep. When purpose is driving you, it will affect the books you read. When purpose is driving you, it will affect your routines every day. The reason why you wake up and watch movies from morning till night doing nothing is because there is nothing burning on your inside. If there is a vision you are dying for, if there is purpose, if there is somewhere you want to hit, I guess following me. You can't wake up by just standing around. I'm driven by purpose. People that know me, you know, I'm driven fully. I choose my friends on my purpose. And I believe that's how everybody should choose their friends. Because if we are traveling, we get to whatever park, get to Holy Ghost park together. If we are going to board the same bus, it's either both of us are going to Abuja or both of us are going to Lagos. I get to the point. I can't be going to Abuja and you're going to Lagos, I will enter the same vehicle. It can't happen. You either join me to Abuja, I'll join you to Lagos. So I choose my friends by where I'm going to. I am purpose driven. I seek knowledge. You know, let me talk about knowledge a little. But you know where you're going to, you will seek knowledge. You know, I mentioned talking about a beautiful head. I want us to read that verse with different translations. A beautiful face.
on an empty head. Proverbs 11, verse 22. So we're going to read with different translations. So King James says, sorry, I mixed it up. Okay, yes, I'm correct. He says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Look at NLT. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Message is interesting. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head. Do you understand? Beautiful face, empty head. That head is just a load for the body. Nothing is there, empty. That's why there are routines you must have because you are going somewhere. Are you getting the point? Routines like reading, Christian books, inspirational books, books about your career. It's not every time one novel after another. There is somewhere you are going to. Develop some routines because you are purpose driven. There are people that I hear when they talk, I say, you know, sometimes I say this, you see a beautiful woman, she walks in, all the guys are turning, wow, wow. She speaks for 5 minutes, all the guys turn back, wow, wow. Because there is nothing. I've seen many. There is nothing. You know, one of the first things that I capture, I'm not saying you must be taking first in your class. But when I engage you in a conversation, you should make sense. You should know something about everything. You know, if you work with me, I can discuss anything with you. If you are close to me, any topic. So how are you like that? No information passes me by. I research, if I hear a word I don't know, I'm checking it in the dictionary. If you know me now, if I say something, I'm working on it. I may not watch some movies, but I know the movies. You may not be able to watch food. You don't watch football. But at least you should have a small knowledge. You should know there is a team called Chelsea. There's a team called Man U. There is Arsenal. There are teams. You say, does it matter? You know, sometimes you engage in a conversation and you're talking something like a fool. Now I heard a man of God give the example. He said, you know, guys are talking about Chelsea. The guy said, hey, Chelsea, my father has a dog. The name is Chelsea. Is it that you've not been hearing people talking about Blues for Life or what have you? You can't be empty like that. Read books. There's somewhere you are going to. You have a career. Some of you have, you bake. Some of you are into tech. Some of you are into whatever. Or you're not even into anything. Get materials and begin to devour them. Live for your purpose. Live for tomorrow. Don't live for frivolities. Choose friends for tomorrow. For your purpose. Live for tomorrow. Read books for tomorrow. There is somewhere you are going to. And you need a lot of information to get there. You need a lot of discipline to get there. So because you're a woman driven by purpose, it affects everything. It affects the places you go to. It affects the company you keep. It affects the people you talk to. It affects the conferences you attend. And that's why it's good that you are here today. It affects where you go to. It affects the people you roll with. It affects the man you finally agree to date. Because there is somewhere you are going to. You can't be going to Abuja dating a man going to nowhere. Going to nowhere. You are throwing yourself into God, serving Jesus with all your heart. And one man that doesn't care about God come and then you follow him. What's wrong with you? Live for your purpose. This woman, this lady, this God's perfect lady, she knows where she's going to. She lives for where she's going to. She picks her mentors based on where she's going to. You want to be whatever, whatever. And then I ask you, who are your role models? You are calling people who are going naked on Facebook and Instagram because they have men and they have cars. Is that where you want to end up in your life? That's true. So you are role models. You see, look around this church. There are many role models you should have. Look outside the church. There are many women who are doing well. I can't vouch for people because there's nobody that is actually perfect. People are walking towards perfection. But there are people who are standing well. I get it. There are pastors, for instance, who are doing well in the secular world. You know, people like, I'm not advertising anybody. I don't follow these people. But there are people you should look at as role models. Ladies, people like Pastor Ibuka Awosika, you know her, right? One of the wealthiest families in Lagos. She's a believer, serving Jesus, doing well in her career. Look, do you know this Florence Shaw, what's her name? Whatever. You guys, people don't know, we don't know, so we are fine. There are people, so who are your role models? That's why you begin to buy clothes like them. You begin to dress like them. Have you ever seen CEO of Diamond Bank or Access Bank or any of these big banks who are ladies wear skimpy skirts and are doing hot legs, hot cheeks? They think that's what they live for. These people are living for their dreams. They are living to develop, to have hot legs. Am I saying you should not be fine? No, you should. Of course, you know now. You should look very good. We are even coming to that today in this meeting. But there is more to you. Are you getting me? Live for your purpose. Live for tomorrow. You are God's perfect lady. So true femininity is only found in God and not in what society has to say. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.